What's zombie takeout?
Movie reviews that stay. My master taught me.
Hello and welcome to episode 450 of Zombie
Takeout. Zombie Takeout.
Only took us, what, 12 years to get here?
John. We think we can.
I'm John.
And hello everyone, I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, just a few things to take care of. First off, since this is our first episode of June, I wanted to wish everybody a happy Disability Pride Month.
July.
happy Disability Pride Month. Also, just a couple of things to mention slash plug, in a sense. One definite plug. Troma now has an app for, you know, set-top boxes and smartphones and such. Their movies, comics, etc., etc. It's $5 a month. I'm considering it. I'm not sure, because I'm honestly not as in love with Troma as I used to be.
It was fun when they were free, of course.
Oh, absolutely. But if you knew that wasn't going to last.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, if you really love Troma, $5 a month, all of it is, you know, available. It's cross-platform. Also, I recently, actually, I've got Apple TV Plus, free trial, to check out a show called Ted Lasso that I've been hearing raves about. And it absolutely lives up to the hype. Highly recommend it.
And oddly enough, I don't think I've heard anything about this show.
Didn't think I'd like it at first, because it's about an American football coach who's hired by a British soccer team.
Okay.
And he's just this incurable optimist going into this very cynical situation, hopeless situation. It's very kind of a feel-good show, but it works beautifully. Highly recommend. And it's, like I said, it's on Apple TV Plus. You don't need an Apple device to watch that. I watch it on my Roku. And there's a 7-day free trial, which is more than enough to get through the 10 half-hour episodes in season one.
And I've got something weird that has been hitting my social media, you know, ad-wise. Mm. Just about, you know, 7 episodes we did sort of the Valiant about the Green Knight.
Right.
And there is a movie coming out at the end of July that I think everybody's social media is getting hit with it. This trailer for the Green Knight.
Yeah, I've seen the trailer a while ago.
And they actually show the Sword of the Valiant clip in there, too. It's going to star, like, Dev Patel.
Yeah. They show the scene with the Green Knight at the beginning, the contest scene.
And Robin Zander in Wonderland.
I'm curious about it, you know, because, as I said when we reviewed Sword of the Valiant, I don't think the story is that good.
I think, you know, the first ad I saw actually had like a thing with Joseph Campbell talking about it too. So
as much as they dress it up, and I'm sure the acting is going to be a lot better, and, you know, obviously the effects.
This is definitely going to be a better movie.
I don't know if it's still going to be that interesting to me, but I might check it out anyway. Anyway, on to this week's movie, which is from 1982, The Dark Crystal. This is one of those that we watched. We went into knowing neither of us likes it. So this should be interesting.
Honestly, I only had, I don't know how old I was when I first attempted to watch this. And when I was watching it for this, I realized I did not make it 10 minutes into this movie as a kid.
I tried it a few years ago and tapped within like 10 minutes. So
I think when the Mystics did their first singing is when I was like, and we're done here.
And of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary. And in honor of episode 450, double sponsors. Mm. First off, sponsored by the Brothers Grimm. They were a lot more fucked up than you probably think they were.
And also brought to you by prophecies. There's always a fucking chosen one prophecy.
And also sponsored by fucking crystals. Are you looking for an overly simplistic explanation for how something complicated works in your fantasy or sci-fi story? Then try explaining it away with fucking crystals. After all, so many others have taken the easy way out. Why the hell shouldn't you?
And last, but certainly not least, the great shaft of the castle. if your castle really needs that kind of reassurance, I guess.
We just alternated on those, but that really was the perfect order.
Yeah, it was. All right, so we have a land long, long ago in a galaxy far, far away, I think.
In days of old when Skeksis were bold.
But they're bringing Skeksis back. Anyway, we have a rejected title. What can you do? So we have these evil vulture people that their mother didn't told them to get something for dinner. Their emperor is lying on his deathbed. But at the same time, we have these mystics who are just these kind of slow, gentle, hippie guys who do like a Tibetan monk chant, which as a kid, of course, was just kind of like, no.
What are like in technological versus passive and agricultural?
Yes.
I smell another industrialization parable, as is so fucking common in fantasy.
Was it at this time, though? I don't know.
I mean, it goes back to Tolkien.
That's true. That is true. Yeah, I guess that's what they were doing. They were just doing a Tolkien here.
Yeah, very much so.
All right.
Instead of a ring, it was a shard.
So we have the Gelfling, a shard. Did you say? That's so embarrassing.
The D.
The D, a shard. Yes. I keep getting those
a
messed
piece
up.
Of a rock or a crystal or, you know, something of that nature.
Right, so we have a Gelfling who is like, you know, knock off-brand halfling, I guess you could say, off-brand elf. And his at the same time this emperor is dying on the other side of the planet, this Gelfling's master mystic is also dying. Whoa, what could be going on here? It's pretty funny because he tells him that he's in danger, but he tells the Gelfling that he's in danger, but I'm out of here pretty much. It's like, oh, well, how does that work? Fuck you.
They took care of Death of the Mentor like that.
Yes, it was right up in the appetizer portion or in the bread basket of the meal. It was, and we have Death of the Mentor in with the little bread toast sticks and butter things. So he's sent on the quest already. He finds, well, he first goes to, the master sends him to Augur's, I think that was how her Augur. Name was said, Augur's house to find the shard. And he, of course, picks the right one because he remembers they're a musical people, so he uses his little instrument. He gets the right one. He doesn't know what to do with the shard. What could it be? It's not like the movie's called Dark Crystal, and I was starting to get, of course, V'ger flashbacks from Star Trek the Motion Picture. I was like, you put it in the fucking crystal, dude. You put it in the crystal. You put it in the crystal. It's Voyager, for fuck's sake. It's Voyager, just missing one letter. But so then he finds he's not the last Gelfling. But he is the chosen one, of course. But he's not the last one. He has to have a lady friend, because where would we be without one? And she, of course, tries to accompany him and aid him on his journey. He gets tempted by this outcasted... the Skeksis, how could I forget their name? He gets tempted by him to come along with them to the castle. Even though they're going to the castle anyway, they refuse to go with him because they want to go on their own. And good luck sneaking into the castle if one of the guys knows you're already going to the castle. So, they head to the castle. They find the Dark Crystal. They repair it. And I really, really could say hilarity ensues at this point, couldn't you?
You forgot to mention the giant crabs that just get everywhere.
Oh yeah, there's giant crabs or spider people or
Yeah.
something.
And it also starts off with the narrator saying the name of the movie.
Some sort of war in the stars.
Exactly. And it wasn't even that dark. It was kind of like a medium purple. And the first time we saw Jen, and why on earth would you name a masculine character, give a masculine character a common woman's name?
I didn't get that either. Oh, you first you're like, did they say Jan?
Yeah.
No, you said Jen.
And the first time you see him, you know, he's bathing in by this lake, and he looks a lot like a Thunderbirds character.
And I was like, is that puppet naked?
Yeah.
Okay, just checking. Cool,
And
cool.
of course, this is Jim Henson, so it should be tech to state of the art for 82. And some of the movement is very impressive. Other times, they look like marionettes on strings.
Yeah.
But throughout it, I was thinking, at least visually speaking, I can see how this would have been really cool in 82. It just doesn't age well.
No, it I could also see how this was cool in a movie theater to have seen too, but yeah, there were some moments where it's kind of like, oh yeah, the flashing lights and the cracks and stuff, and or with the time when the bats flew off, it was just kind of like why did you cut corners there, buddy?
One moment that kind of annoyed me, though, in hindsight, from a puppet movement standpoint, was probably the better choice. These two Skeksis are fighting over, you know, who's going to take the throne after the emperor dies. And they pull out these swords, and instead of actually fighting each other, they swing at this rock.
They swing the swords at rocks.
Although choreographing a sword fight between two puppets probably wouldn't have looked as good.
Yeah, that he didn't seem to know how to create dramatic tension in this
No,
movie.
not at all.
It's very much lacking it throughout. It's the problem throughout. And you have a lot of useless, pointless characters that are just like, what are these guys supposed to do? And one of them is that conflict between the Emperor and the Chamberlain. In fact, the Chamberlain is just really Vulture Jar Jar Binks.
I did like Agra. The design was cool, as I have it, you know,
Yes.
the big dog who took its eye out, because it takes its eye out to see Jen hiding. And I also liked the big planet mobile that Agra had. That was cool. Now,
Is
I
she like
mentioned.
the mother from Pink Floyd, the
Yeah,
wall?
yeah, yeah, yeah. Very cool design, though. Kind of reminded, there are these Chinese like lion sculptures that Agra looks a lot like. The giant evil crabs, though, were kind of disturbing. I say that as an arachnophobe.
Yeah, I was wondering how you were getting through that.
I did like all of the skittering jungle creatures, though. You know, the creature design is really impressive in this movie. It's really kind of the only thing I liked about it. We really didn't need the Skeksis dinner scene.
We didn't need the stripping of
No,
the
no.
Chamberlain. That was like it. That was a thing. They didn't really know what they were going for, where they over-explained stuff as if this was for little kids, but then they had scenes that would like terrify kids, like the like that scene of them be like stripping the Chamberlain or some of the other creatures. So it really just totally didn't make any sense. I sent you a picture of the mother from the wall.
Oh, okay. I was wondering what that was. I'll take a look. We're actually doing this thing. Oh God, yeah. Yeah, very much. It's been a long time since I've seen the wall. But I also. Oh, incidentally, you talked about where they were going with this, what they were driving at. According to co-director Frank Oz, Henson's intention was to get back to the darkness of the original Grimm's fairy tales, as he believed that it was unhealthy for children to never be afraid.
Okay.
I don't know if you've read the original Grimm's fairy tales.
They're not really for kids.
Not at all. I skimmed quite a few of them. There was a book released some years ago that had the original fairy tales. And I bought a copy for Jen for her birthday, and I skimmed a copy online. The one title that stuck in my memory was When Children... Something along the lines of, like, How Children Play at Slaughtering. And it lives up to that title. Like, it gets dark as fuck before they were all sanitized. So he didn't actually go anywhere near the original Grimm's fairy tales. Another major issue I had with the movie, there were a lot of scenes that, these long scenes without dialogue.
Just the voiceover scenes, or?
Or no, not even with dialogue. They were just kind of showing off the scenery. Hard to stay awake for this.
Yes. Yeah, this was a rough one.
Yeah.
Like, even that thing at Augur's place, that could have been a good fight scene there.
Yeah.
And instead, we just have Jen running out in the middle of it, and they just trash her place, and that's it. Yeah. They could have made her more of a badass where she actually took some motherfuckers out.
Yeah. And then they get the Kira's clan, who reminded me of a combination of the Muppet Show and the Mos Eisley Cantina.
There were a lot of Fraggle Rock vibes in this.
Oh yeah, this was, I think, just before Fraggle Rock.
Yeah.
So they borrowed a lot from this. Now, did they really think that, speaking of Kira and Jen, did they really think that they could, that their two mounts could take out like eight of the giant crabs?
Oh right, there's a lot of that where it's just like, what?
Of course, Jen wakes up at a very convenient time in that scene, just in time to rescue Kira.
Yeah.
And apparently, tooth and throat singing can control the crabs. Because a bunch of mystics show up at the castle and do some tooth and throat singing, and the crabs just mellow out and let them pass.
Super slowly, though. Yeah. They are the slowest cavalry in the history of motion pictures. Yeah. Now, it is a joke that the cavalry arrives late, but these guys are just kind of like, we're just moving here.
And speaking of the giant crabs, when we see one killed, apparently they're all exoskeleton. There's nothing in there.
Yeah, they just fall right apart.
Yeah, and it's all just skeleton. And also, apparently, you can kill a Gelfling by stabbing them in the shoulder. When they killed, I think it was Kira.
She just went down from a shoulder wound.
Yeah, apparently their heart is in their shoulder. It's interesting.
More interesting if the Gelflings were played by people?
Yes.
Instead of puppets?
Although they wanted to market it as, the first live-action movie with no human characters.
But that's not a good idea. Unless you're making an all-out kids movie, that could work. But if you're trying to add this, thing of drama, it's not going to work with just puppets. Yeah. You need... So the heroes of a different race from everybody else, where the audience could identify with and go with, instead of, they needed to be more realistic looking at least.
And then, when they reform the crystal, because that's the whole point of the movie, all of the mystics and the I think it was just the mystics actually, turned into like crystal ghosts.
No. In fact, this is kind of the other half of the feature point here, was that they are one and the same.
Oh, okay.
They combined. Because when the Chamberlain got stabbed in the hand, they showed the other guy's hand just starting to bleed, and he's just kind of like, oh, my hand's bleeding.
In that opening narration, it the narrator says, when the crystal was broken, two new races emerged. So they basically split off from the crystal, good and evil.
So they combine together to form the light beings who just took off after they were rejoined.
Mm-hmm. Now, usually when I finish a boring movie, it feels like it was a real slog to get through. After this one, I barely felt like I'd watched anything.
Yeah. You know, you're in trouble when one of the best parts of the movies is the opening credits. Mm-hmm. There was some dude named Laser, and they showed a laser pointing at one of the vulture people.
Okay.
It was like Derek Laser, uh-huh. and it was the beam from the Dark Crystal hitting one of the Skeksis in the head.
Nice.
First over it. I was kind of like, they had to have known what they were doing there.
On to sequels and remakes. Actually, in this case, prequels. A prequel television series, The Dark Crystal Age of Resistance, premiered on Netflix in 2019. I have no interest.
You could tell they were pitching it in this movie, you know, with the whole abandoned throne room and stuff, and bad things happened here. You could tell they were I smell prequel.
Right.
Even as far back as this.
Right.
But no, of course I have no interest in that either. It's just like, listen to young Scotto and turn this off 10 minutes in. He was right.
Yeah. On to brains. I love the creature design. Some of the puppetry was really nicely done. Good music. I'm going 3.
It's funny. I saw a review. They summed it up by saying it was well-paced, which made me chuckle.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, this makes A New Hope look like a Fast and Furious movie.
Right.
It's, they're going for a lot of Star Wars here, too, it felt like.
It was 82.
You knew the power of the Dark Crystal, kind of thing. But you had so many useless characters. The Mystics really were just useless storytelling-wise. Mm. The Chamberlain was only useful for the one scene where he was tempting Jen, which was pointless in the end anyway. But it was very nice to look at. And I'm gonna go with 2.
All right. And what did we learn?
We learned that we learned about the dikes, because sometimes the best jokes are callbacks.
You got it in there.
Yeah, I did.
And I learned that writing is words that stay. I've been writing for many years. I never knew that's what it was.
Too bad they didn't do that when they were doing this movie.
And that's it for The Dark Crystal. Until 2 weeks from now, we're taking next week off, when we'll be reviewing Tusk. That should be interesting. Always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.